Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion. We're going to be talking about the coming One World Church, the global religion. Have you ever considered, ladies and gentlemen, after the church is raptured out of this old world, we that are the true believers suddenly see snatched out of this old world? Have you ever wondered what happens to the church? Will there be worship? Will there be religion? Will there be worship services? During the days of the tribulation, what will the religion be like? Who will be the leader of that religious organization? What kind of religious, doctrinal, theological beliefs will they sustain and talk about? We're going to talk about on this broadcast today. I believe that we need to understand there is a coming world order. There is a coming one world church, and it shall take place, ladies and gentlemen, based on the authority of the Word of God. And as we talk about Scripture and as we talk about issues, may I remind us we need to do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Bible says very clearly with the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus talked to his disciples about truth, and it's the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am truth." And then Jesus thoroughly identifies truth in John 17, 17, when the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." This is the reason we need to speak truth in love. We need to take a stand in these last days, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians. We need to be the salt and light that God's called us to be. We need to be unafraid of the future because we have the book that tells us what the future holds. And the Bible tells us that we as believers will win in the end. So I encourage you with the thoughts today to study the Word of God. Allow the Word of God to direct your footsteps. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about truth, Zechariah 8:6 says, "Speak every man truth to his neighbor." And I believe that's what we ought to do. But ladies and gentlemen, as George Orwell said so many years ago, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we're finding in the world today. If you don't believe that, watch Jerry Nadler and the circus that's taking place right now in Washington, and you'll understand how they hate truth and those that stand for truth, whether it be Christian leadership or political leadership. If we understand what the Word of God says, we realize that this is the natural winding down, the wrapping up of this old universe. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for homeowners, brands like Honda and Echo, the full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the professionals as well as the homeowners. They also carry hurricane preparedness equipment and a full line of Honda generators. They have a full team, a full staff of knowledgeable men that can answer your questions about backup power and about the equipment that is sold at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where's that located? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag is flying. Find the flag, that gigantic flagpole where Old Glory is flying 24-7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsforTime.com. ToolsforTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the subject today, the coming world order and the coming one world church, I wanted to remind you that if you're seated and where you can, pull your Bible out, find 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Look at also Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 18. We're not going to try to exegete those verses, but those will be some of the primary references we'll have today and our talking points in relationship to the coming One World Church. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are aware that we're truly living in the last days. Biblical prophecy is replete with the scriptures that point to the signs about the end of time. Some do not want to talk about the last days and the end of time. Some say that it's just a biblical scare tactic to say anything about the last days and the end of time. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, that men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankful, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good. And it goes on to talk about the identification, ladies and gentlemen, how to recognize we're in the last days. When the scripture says perilous times shall come, the word perilous means dark, dangerous, deadly, difficult, devastating. And ladies and gentlemen, that summarily describes where we are in society today. We're living in dark, dangerous, deadly, difficult, devastating times. We're all witnesses today, ladies and gentlemen, that as we see God's word leaping out, as I call it, where God's word is literally leaping out and becoming headline news, news in the local and national newspapers, news on television and radio. It is not naturally, it's not saying, thus saith the word of God, but it says God's word talks about it. We see, ladies and gentlemen, headlines about Russia and the in its aggression today, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, Iran, Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these nations, ladies and gentlemen, all mentioned in the word of God, and they're mentioned in the eschatological prophetic text of the end times and the last days. All of these nations, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, will be the focus and will be active in the last days. The Christians should not be worried. I don't say this to worry us. I don't say this to agitate or to bother us. But the Christians should not be worried. We should not be anxious. We should recognize the signs of the times and continue to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, that we are in the last days and that we are commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to be salt in a decaying society and light in a darkened world. Our social, spiritual, and political system is broken, The apostasy of the church, the falling away, is evident across the nations and around the globe. Across all denominations today, ladies and gentlemen, the membership numbers have fallen dramatically. Churches are closing in Europe and in America. Most churches today are seeking entertainment. They're not seeking to know the Word of God. Most churches today, the pastors are entertainers, not preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God. And this is the reason I say, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, find a church where the Bible is exegeted, where the Bible is proclaimed and taught verse by verse and chapter by chapter, so that you can inculcate the Word of God in your heart and your life. After all, ladies and gentlemen, in these last dark, dangerous, difficult days that we're living in, there's nothing better to grasp a hold to and to allow to give us guidance and wisdom and encouragement and strength and faith and hope than the Word of God. So I commend it to you, realizing that we're in these last days. God never created his church, never designed the church to be a bastion of entertainment. God never intended for his church to be a place where a person can go and be entertained by the things of the world. God never intended his church to be an open door to bring the world into the church. Oh, yes, I understand. Whoever's out there in the world, they are invited to come and to hear the word of God and to say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But the church was never intended by God himself to be the bastion of worldly affairs and worldly events and worldly entertainment. That's not what the church is about. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, most are not seeking the truth of the word of God. We have a society today of immature, anemic, unlearned, ignorant believers, if saved at all. Multitudes today, perhaps you're listening, Perhaps you say that's pretty harsh, and it's not meant to be harsh, but factual. Perhaps you cannot identify a date and a time and a place where you invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart. You do not be saved by osmosis. You're not saved because you simply have a passion for going to church. You're not saved because your grandparents were saved. You're not saved because grandpa and daddy was a preacher. You're not saved because grandma or mama was a Sunday school teacher. You're saved by volitional choice to say yes to Jesus. You're not saved because John Calvin says that God preordained and predestined you to go to heaven and some to go to hell. You need to have a testimony of salvation, how you know you're saved, when you invited Christ to come in your heart. If not, ladies and gentlemen, these are dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating days for everyone that's not in the Word of God and is not saved. It's difficult enough for those of us that have said yes to Jesus. But if you're lost, you're in a world of hurt, as someone would say. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's easy for those that are weak and anemic and immature in the Word to embrace false teachers, to embrace false doctrines. Most of the so-called believers today are tossed about, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, as the Scripture says, simply because they're not founded in the Word of God, the Bible. This is why all denominations today have embraced the LGBTQ agenda. Notice I said all denominations. Every mainline denomination's embraced the LGBTQ agenda. Many see nothing wrong with murder by way of abortion. Many will accept false teachers and teachings. Some have false teachers, and some of these false teachers have said that hell is not real. Some of these false teachers says the Bible is out of date. It must be rewritten. Some of these false teachers say that evolution is the way that man came into being and not creation based on the Bible. Some of these false teachers say that the Ten Commandments are not relevant in society today. And if you're homosexual, it's not sin. God made you that way. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that we're in the last days, but there is coming a global one-world church. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. The telephone number that you can dial is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to be talking about the indicators, the signs, the indicators, the Word of God, the Scripture that talks about the great whore, the apostate church. That great whore, the apostate church, is found in Revelation chapter 17. It shall be alive and well in the days of the tribulation. It is being amalgamated and brought together today. And we'll talk about that in this broadcast. Who is the mover and shaker that's bringing it about? Who is the one that's waving the magic wand and getting all of the religious leaders across the world to sign a pact that breaks down all denominational distinctions, breaks down everything that's called biblical continuity and biblical integrity? Who is that one that's doing that? We'll talk about that in this broadcast. It is vital that you hear this broadcast today. It's vital that you understand where we are in society today. It's vital that we as Christians realize that there's a day coming very, very soon that we will not be here. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be despairing. God is still on his throne. He's still in control. And one day, very, very soon, the true church will be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. And there are those that will say the rapture is not real. Perhaps you're one of them. Perhaps you're in a church where the pastor, the denomination that you're in, rejects the truth of the rapture of the church. The word rapture is from the Latin word rapturus. We get our word rapture from that basic Latin word rapturus. That's not found in the Scripture. But snatching away, the sudden seizure, the sudden snatching away, is the same term that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible says in verses 16 through 18, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be one day very soon a shout. Then we'll hear the sound, the shout of God and the sound of the trumpet. Then there's a sudden snatching away, the sudden seizure, and we'll be out of here. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be suddenly seized, taken out of this old world. It's called the rapture of the church, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to understand it. We need to embrace it. And we need to look forward to it. But the question is, ladies and gentlemen, as I talk to you today, by way of this broadcast, the question that begs to be asked and challenged to be answered, are you ready? You see, ladies and gentlemen, the rapture of the church is that which is referred to as the imminency of the rapture. That means it could happen at any moment. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a verse in the scripture that gives us a sign that is a prerequisite for the church to be snatched out of this old world. The rapture of the church could take place in the next few moments. The rapture of the church could take place before this broadcast is over. The rapture of the church could take place before the evening is done. The rapture of the church could take place before you place your head on your bed tonight. The rapture of the church could take place before breakfast in the morning. The rapture of the church is imminent. There are no signs to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church. But there's coming that day, that moment, that time, when there will be the sudden sound. I tell people when it comes to the rapture of the church, you need not look for signs, but listen for the sound. And only those that have their ears tuned to the sound, that is saved, will be snatched out of this old world. When the sound comes, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord Jesus Christ gives the shout, and that shout has come up hither, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and then there will be the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. So it is the shout and the sound and the sudden snatching away of the bride of Christ. Are you ready? Have you said yes to Jesus? There are no signs. It's the sudden shout, the sudden sound, the snatching away, where the Lord Jesus Christ comes to receive us. We are caught up together with him in the clouds to meet him in the air. And the scripture says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about two second comings, as some try to make it out to be in the amalgamation of the text about the second coming and the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church takes place, and then there's 7 years of tribulation, and then the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the second coming. Between the rapture of the church, the sudden shout, the sudden sound, and the sudden snatching away, between the rapture of the church and the return of Christ is a seven-year period of time. It's called the tribulation. It is the day of God's wrath, W-R-A-T-H. It's the Greek word thumos, God's white-hot anger being poured out on a Christ-rejecting, Bible-hating, God-denying world, that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. Yes, we're talking about the coming one-world church, the coming one-world order, the coming religious one-world organization called the church, but it would be the apostate church. Revelation 17 calls it the great whore of Babylon. Ladies and gentlemen, that day is coming after the rapture of the church, because after the rapture of the church and the man of sin steps on the scene, that's the Antichrist, there will be church taking place just as nothing had happened. And we'll talk about that in a moment. It's not all over at the rapture of the church. For while we are in heaven, ladies and gentlemen, according to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we as believers will be surrounding the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be casting our crowns, our awards, rewards before his feet. And we'll be singing the old song according to Revelation 4 and 5, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. He was slain for us. He was crucified, buried and resurrected, that through our faith and trust in him, we can have everlasting life. But ladies and gentlemen, after we're snatched out, we'll be in that place of bliss. We'll be in that place of eternal glory. We'll be in that place around the Lord Jesus Christ as he's seated on his throne. But there'll be chaos and confusion and calamity as the world has never seen on the face of this old earth. 7 years of it. The Antichrist, the one that's referred to as the man of sin, will step on the scene. The Antichrist will rule and reign with an iron fist. The man of sin is called the son of perdition, the wicked one, the lawless one, the little horn, the beast, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil and Satan, and the Antichrist. That's the 10 different names for the Antichrist. When he comes on the scene, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says in Revelation 13, verse 3, 4, and 5, that he will be slain with a mortal wound. The scripture tells us that it will be the false prophet, the false religious leader, listen carefully, you need to understand the nexus, the false religious leader will have demonic powers to call down fire from heaven. He will have demonic powers to raise the dead. And that false religious leader, there will be the same religious leader, ladies and gentlemen, that heads up the One World Church, the same religious leader that will head up the ecumenical gathering together of all denominations that are the fragments and the residuum after the rapture of the church. It's that same false religious leader that will be able to perform a demonic miracle and raise the dead, that is the Antichrist, having a mortal wound, the scripture says, and he will be raised from the dead. And as he is resurrected from the dead by the false prophet, the whole world will wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, that will be amazed at him and will basically shake their fist at God and say, who is able to top this one? Who is able to beat this leader? You see, ladies and gentlemen, around the globe, from as far back as history will record, the world has been seeking for, looking for, asking for, demanding a world leader, a global leader that can bring about peace. And one day this Antichrist, this wicked one, this man of perdition, this man of sin, the lawless one, will be able to bring about a seven-year covenant, according to Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 through 27, a seven-year peace pact. Halfway through that peace pact, about 3.5 years, he'll break the covenant and try to annihilate, eviscerate, destroy the nation of Israel, the apple of God's eye. That is when, ladies and gentlemen, the latter portion of that 7 years, when that takes place and it seems as though Israel, the Jewish people, are going to be eviscerated, totally annihilated, wiped off the face of the earth. Jesus Christ, God, will return. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, the one that is seated in glory today, will return. And the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse 1 and following, 31 and following, the Bible says that he'll return with all of his holy angels. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, that we will return with him, and he will be the captain of the host, and he will do war for us, and he will defeat the Antichrist, the false prophet, and ultimately cast them in hell. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's a brief chronology and a brief analysis of what will take place after the rapture of the church, when this man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene. He will rule with an iron fist, and multitudes will follow after him. You've heard the old story about the Left Behind series, where people will be gathered together. The marshals and law enforcement will go out and handcuff them, chain them, drag them in, force them to receive the mark in the hand or the head. Ladies and gentlemen, it won't happen that way. It will not happen that way. There will be a gleeful desire to follow the one that has power and position and prestige on the face of the earth. There will be multitudes, millions, that will follow the Antichrist and will gladly accept the mark in the hand of the head. And I'm not going into details. I believe it will be some type of microchip that will be utilized as the identification. And I've gone through that several times on different broadcasts talking about that. But suffice it to say, there will be a uniformity of identification that will be used in that day that will identify every human being, and that will allow information and data to be utilized by the Antichrist to follow and to trace and to track every human being on the face of the globe. But ladies and gentlemen, in the midst of all of that chaos, in the midst of that calamity, in the midst of that devastation, in the midst of those days of darkness during the 7 years of tribulation, when Satan will literally be unleashed on the face of the globe, and through the incarnation of Satan, which will be through the Antichrist, you have Satan and the demons that give the power to the Antichrist. You have the false prophet that's empowered by Satan himself to perform false, phony, demonic miracles. You'll have the unholy trinity operating in the world during the days of the tribulation. So, ladies and gentlemen, the Antichrist will be empowered by Satan and his demons. Multitudes will be martyred for their faith during that time. Yes, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, you'll be raptured out. During the course of the days of the tribulation, if you've rejected Christ, you've refused Christ, during the days of the tribulation, you cannot get saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 and following, verses 7, 8, and 9 in particular, says that if you have believed a lie and you refuse Christ, that you're going to be hardened, your heart will be hardened, and you will accept the lie and will not be able to say yes to Jesus Christ. This is the reason it's so urgent today, if the Holy Spirit of God is moving, to say yes to him as Savior. But those that are saved will be those primarily coming out of the Jewish background. Revelation 7, Revelation 14 says there'll be 144,000 virgin male Jewish evangelists preaching the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. The world's greatest revival will take place during the days of the tribulation, where mega numbers will get saved, say yes to Jesus, and once they get saved, saying yes to Jesus Christ, and again I emphasize, getting saved by saying yes to Jesus Christ. You're not saved by the John Calvin's mythology that's called the theological position that has the understanding of predestination, that is the covenant theology, that is the Reformed theology that is so prevalent today. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not how a person is saved. But during the days of the tribulation, the Jewish people primarily and those that have never heard the gospel will say yes to Yeshua Messiah and be saved. They will be martyred for their faith, ladies and gentlemen. They will be put to death. They will not be able to eat or to buy or to sell or to rent or to own a home. Multitudes will be martyred just because they have said yes to Jesus. And if they refuse to accept the mark of the Antichrist, ladies and gentlemen, proof positive in the days of the tribulation, if a person says no to the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, is proof positive that he's saved. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 9 and following, talks about those that will be burned in hell, those that receive the mark of the beast. It is a dangerous thing, ladies and gentlemen, to put off and to procrastinate saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We're talking about today, and we're coming rapidly to the point that we're going to open the doors and let you understand and let us see the foreshadowing of this last days, the days of the tribulation, when the false prophet and the Antichrist will be moving and shaking on this globe, and through the false prophet, the coming global one-world church will come into existence and will be on the face of the globe, where there will be one denomination, one world church, one religion, and it's being headed up today. We're going to talk about who heads it up, how we know that it's taking place, how we know that it's coming about, and what will take place. One thing that must be discussed, ladies and gentlemen, that most do not discuss today at all, is the fact that after the rapture of the church, they will still have worship services just as before the rapture. It will be the apostate church, the great whore of Revelation 17, verses 1 through 18. So there will be church on the face of the globe after the rapture of the church, after the true church is raptured out. The apostate church is called the great whore, and it's made up of the amalgamation and the residuum of all of those that are left behind after the rapture. Picture, ladies and gentlemen, in your church today, in our church today, in all denominational churches today, the Sunday after the rapture of the church, they will still have church services, and many of them will be pastored by the same preachers, the same pastors. There might be a few folks missing, but they'll still have services. They'll wonder, what happened to George and Sally and Susie? What happened to Jim and Charles? They're not here. That will be the enigma of everyone, because the church, rapture of the church, the true church, will have been suddenly seized and taken out of this old world. But ladies and gentlemen, church will take place every Sunday just as it has in the past after the rapture of the church. It will be the amalgamation, the coming together of the residuum, that is the residue, the leftover of those church memberships of every denomination. We'll find, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be Baptists and Methodists, Presbyterian, Episcopalians, Catholics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that will still have church services just as though nothing had happened. There might be a fear, there might be a concern, there might be a question as to what happened to the others, but ladies and gentlemen, they'll still have worship services. We're going to talk about that in a moment, talking about the coming one world church, the coming global religious order that will be in the world in the days of the tribulation. Because it shall be true, and the false prophet that holds the hands up of the Antichrist be the one leading that movement, be the one leading that service, leading that great whore, the apostate church. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Following the break, we're going to come back. We're going to open Pandora's box, and we're going to talk about who this one is that's today preparing for the one world church. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.